Mark chapter number 12. And we're going to read verses 41 down through verse number 44. This is the 64th lesson in the book of Mark. Been in the book of Mark at least 64 weeks. Mark chapter 12, verse number 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and behold how the people cast, or beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto him, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. And so we're going to look at these four verses tonight. You only find this two places in the Bible. You find this here in Mark chapter number 12, and you find four verses in Luke chapter number 21. And verses 1 through 4. And I preached on this before. I think it's probably been about 3 years ago. I preached a message called The Widow's Mite. And we'll just call it that again tonight. I'm not preaching the same message. But if you got a Scofield Bible, it says Jesus and the Widow's Mite. If you remember it from Sunday school growing up, it's generally called The Widow's Mite. But I knew... that I had preached on this before. I found my notes from the last time and I read over them and I wasn't much impressed with them. You know, I looked at it. Sometimes you look back and you say, how did anybody ever get anything out of that? And so I found that and I read over that, and then I found some commentaries, and a lot of them don't say anything about her. The ones I did read over said very little about her. So they were not very much help. But I do want to point out some things tonight that I have learned since the last time I dealt with this. And the way that I see it in a different light is by studying all the verses around it. It shed some light upon what's going on in this passage of Scripture. So we're going to look at it tonight from that standpoint, and I'm just going to share with you three things about this, the widow's mite. Number one, there's the surrounding comparison. The surrounding comparison. Now, if you remember, and it's been several weeks now, if we go back to chapter number 11, and the official presentation of Jesus Christ as King, when he rode into Jerusalem there. That's sort of the section that started all of this off. And you remember when we started in chapter number 11, and this just by way of maybe jogging our memory just a little bit, remember there was three consecutive days that the Lord Jesus went into Jerusalem. And it's all right here in Mark chapter number 11. He went in one day, he went out, he came back the next day, he cursed the fig tree, he went out, he came back in the next day, and he went into the temple. And in the last part of chapter 11, all the way through chapter number 12 now, we've been on that third day. So we're in the last week of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the majority of chapter number 11 and all of chapter number 12 is that third day that the Lord Jesus came into Jerusalem and went into the temple. So in all the studying we've done, we've just been on 3 days all this time. And so we think about the surrounding comparison. I thought about this. I thought about all the different people that we've met. We've met a whole lot of different people in these two chapters, chapter 11 and chapter number 12. It started in chapter 11, verse number 18, probably right around in there. The Bible said, and the scribes and chief priests, now I'm back in chapter 11, verse number 18, and the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, For they feared him because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. So we met the scribes and the chief priests there. And what did they want to do? They wanted to destroy him. The scribes and the chief priests. These are the most religious people in town. But when they met the Lord Jesus Christ, they wanted to kill him. That's who we've been dealing with. We come on down to chapter 11 and verse 27 and 28. There's some more people added to the group, verse 27. And they come again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, there come to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now there's another group. There's the elders added on. And the elders in verse 28, and say unto him, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things? So we find the scribes and the chief priests and the elders here, and when they come to the Lord, I mean, these are supposed to be the people that love God. And so when they come to the Lord Jesus, what do? They immediately begin to question him. Who gave you authority to do this? Who told you could come down here? This is our turf. If they'd have been in Italians, that's how they'd have spoke, you know. This is our territory. We run the show around here. Who told you could come in here and do this? And so we meet these people as we come along. Chapter 12, verse number 13. One group goes away, another group comes along. And we've talked about this quite a bit. Chapter 12, verse 13. And they send unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him in his words. So now we have a religious group, a ultra-orthodox, super-conservative. If you ask the Pharisees, do you believe the Bible's the Word of God? Oh, yes. That would have been their answer. The Herodians were a political religious group. And they thought by associating with the Romans and sort of, we scratch their back, they'll scratch ours. And most of the time, the Pharisees and the Herodians, they're at each other's throats. But now, when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, they join forces together against the Lord Jesus Christ to catch him in his words. That's what the Bible says. Then we come down to chapter 12, verse number 18, and we see the scribes are mentioned there. Then come unto him, or not the scribes, the Sadducees. Then come unto him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection. And they ask him, saying. And so they had things, and they tried to catch him, and they tried to make him look bad. And if the Pharisees were the ultra far right, the Sadducees would be the ultra far left. See, they didn't believe in a lot of things. They didn't believe in the resurrection. But they sure wanted to give the Lord Jesus Christ a hard time. Then in chapter 12, verse 28, the Bible talks over there about one of the scribes. And one of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well. Ask him which is the first commandment of all. And then in chapter 12, verse 37, we talked about the common people. The Bible said there, and the common people heard him gladly. And so the surrounding comparison, when we come to this passage of Scripture in chapter number 12, by way of comparison, chapter 12, verse number 42, and there came a certain poor widow. Now this sheds a whole lot of light upon this certain poor widow. And what the Lord is trying to show us, what the Lord is trying to get us to see when we come to a certain poor widow. One of the primary ways of learning in the Bible and in life as well is learned by comparison. You compare, you know, apples to, sometimes people say you're not comparing apples to apples. You know, how do you learn? You learn by comparing things, or that's one of the ways to learn. And in the book of Proverbs, for example, you have contrast all the way through it. There's the wise man and the foolish man. There's the righteous person and the wicked person. There's the diligent person. There's the slothful person. And on and on and on. And so you see these two different comparisons, and you learn that way. The Bible said in Proverbs, I went by the field of the slothful, and lo, it's all grown over thorns and nettles and covered it. And so the slothful person, he didn't take care of his vineyard and his house and all of his stuff. He's lazy. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 3, the Bible said, the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. And so he compares the soul of the righteous to the substance of the wicked. And he says one person, talking about the soul of the righteous, the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. The soul of the righteous, they'll receive what they do not have. But he says about the substance of the wicked that it'll be cast away. The wicked will lose what they do have. And so by way of contrast, by way of comparison, and so we have a comparison in this passage of Scripture. If we take all of these people and line them up and look at them, who's righteous? Who loves God? Think about it. Is it the ones that look religious? Is it the ones with the long clothing, the Bible said? Is it the ones that their whole business is taken up around the temple and serving in the temple and working in the temple and teaching in the temple and overseeing what goes on? Are they the righteous people that love the Lord? Or do we have an example in here in a certain poor widow? She makes them all look bad by way of comparison. And so we learn things by way of comparison. You remember the subject came up to one of the scribes came and asked the Lord Jesus what was the first commandment of all. And in chapter 12, verse number 30, the Bible said that Jesus said, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Who loves God? Who loves God among all these people that we've met? Is it the people in... Verse number 38. And he said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces. We preached about them last week. I don't think they love the Lord with all of their heart and all of their mind and all of their soul. In fact, I think they love themselves more than they love the Lord. They love to be seen. They love to be heard. But here we read about a woman, and we don't know very much about her, but that she is just a certain poor widow who's really devoted to the Lord. See, the world has an idea about who loves God and who is devoted to the things of the Lord. Just because somebody is religious doesn't mean they love the Lord. It does not mean that they're devoted, consecrated, set apart to the things of God. Is it the scribes and their long clothes and their long prayers and their big offerings and all that? Or, verse 44, the Bible said, for all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. I think she was devoted to the Lord. I think she loved the Lord, and I think she proved it by her actions. And here's the thing. She didn't even know the Lord was looking. She'd have done it whether anybody knew what she was doing or not. She loved the Lord. What she did out of her heart, trusting God. Everything they did to be seen of men. She didn't know the Lord was looking. She didn't know the Lord was commenting on what people gave and how much they gave and what he thought about it. She didn't know that. He just picked her out as an example. And so the surrounding comparison, this widow, this certain poor widow, what the Bible says, is like a beautiful rose in a briar patch. And all that religious crowd's the briars. And they don't even have green leaves on them. Now, I've preached on this before. I remember learning about the widow's mite in Sunday school when I was a little child. Some of you maybe remember that as well. But when we back up and we back away from this passage of Scripture and we see all the rest of the people and we see what she is surrounded by, that really makes her that much more lovely in comparison. And so the surrounding comparison, we could ask ourselves and we could look at all these different people that we've seen in chapter 11 and chapter number 12, and we could ask ourselves the question, what really impresses the Lord? Is it being religious? Going through the motions? That's not what impresses the Lord. This widow here impressed the Lord. But the religious crowd didn't impress the Lord at all. In fact, they were the ones that was giving him such a hard time. The Lord is, what we can learn from this surrounding comparison here is the Lord is not impressed by religious shows. And that's all that goes on in a lot of religion. Just putting on a show. Just putting on a production. What the Lord is impressed by is real surrender. Now, she knew what it was to really surrender to the Lord. She cast in all that she had, even all her living. The Bible talks about it in Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. It talks about out of her penury. That means extreme poverty. She didn't have, well, she did have two mites to rub together, but she gave them to the Lord. That's all she had. And so there's a lot of good lessons by just comparing all these people that we see here in these two chapters. Number two tonight, there's the scriptural context. Now, that's very close to what I've already said, but not exactly the same. But when we read and study the Bible, we need to take into consideration always the scriptural context. And this is where I've learned some things this time that I didn't learn before. I've seen some things this time around that I did not see before. There is a huge benefit to studying the Bible verse by verse by verse. I think there ought to be as many in church on Wednesday night as there is on Sunday morning. I think you'll learn more if we're studying the Bible, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, you will always learn things and always come across things that you will never come across except by going verse by verse by verse. And so as we go verse by verse, we get the power of context. Context is of utmost importance in interpreting the Bible. Context is two words, con and the word text. And it is just simply what is contained in the text. Webster's dictionary said that context is the passages of Scripture which are near the text, either before it or after it. The sense of a passage of Scripture is often illustrated by the context. So we say, well, I've got, you know, if you heard this preached on a Sunday morning, you would probably just hear verses 41 through 44. It'd be very hard on a Sunday morning to go all the way back into chapter 12 and bring out all we've brought out. And we've not brought out everything. But it's the verses before, it's the verses after, it's the near text. All of that makes up the context. Now, let me give you an example of something that I've never noticed before. Just look back in verse number 40. Now, the Lord was talking about beware of the scribes. We preached last week about these scribes and what they were into. One of the things they were doing in verse number 40, which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. They were doing something crooked. On one hand, they were calling in the mortgages of the widows. They'd made loans to the widows, and when the widows couldn't pay, then they were taking their houses. They were devouring widows' houses. And for a pretense, the way they covered that up was to make these long prayers, these long, flowery, loud prayers that everybody would hear and say, "Boy, aren't they religious? Aren't they spiritual? They must really know something about the Lord." But in verse number 40, they devour widows' houses. Now, it is no accident that the very next thing we learn about in the Bible, who pointed it out? The Lord Jesus Christ pointed it out. The very next thing we learn about concerns a certain poor widow. And I've looked at this today and thought about it before. There's something in that, and I don't know. I've not figured it all out tonight, but in the way that's phrased, a certain poor widow. There's a lady that, of all the people that were around, he picked out this one person. Why do you think he picked her out? And why do you think he was just talking about the scribes devouring widows' houses, and just so happens to be here's a widow in the house of God, and she's poor? You think she could have been a victim of their crime? I mean, we may not know till we get to heaven, but I don't think there's any accidents in the Bible. I believe that she is there on purpose. And if we realize the context of that, that really exemplifies both their unrighteousness in what they were doing and her righteousness in continuing to do right, even though she had probably been done wrong by these scribes. A lot of people say, "Well, I'm not going back to church. I'm not having anything else to do with that crowd." But if she was done wrong and she still continues to do right, well, there's a great example there. A lot of people aren't in church tonight. They're blaming somebody that done something. They're blaming God, but it wasn't God. It's somebody that was doing something wicked under the banner of God. And that's what these scribes were doing. But she continues to do right. She is in a terrible situation. She is poor, the Bible says. She gave of her penury, her extreme poverty is what that word means in Luke chapter number 21. She's in a terrible situation. She has two mites, and she still gives both of them. And I said something today about my 2 cents worth. I wonder if that's where that phrase doesn't come from. I'm going to give my 2 cents worth. That's all she had, 2 cents. 2 cents, two mites. And she still gave it all anyway, the Bible says. A way to illustrate how the context has an impact. We've all heard about that there's a war in Syria. And they're asking all of Europe and even refugees coming to America. And it's evidently very bad over there. And war has torn the country all to pieces. And people are fleeing their country. And there's been a lot of them, I think up in the thousands, have been relocated to North Carolina. Now, wouldn't that be bad? That'd be bad if your country was at war, civil war. And it would be bad if it was so bad you had to flee the country and then you ended up in a foreign country. You didn't speak the language. You didn't know anybody. We'd all agree, well, that's bad. But it doesn't affect me nearly as much because I don't know any of them. I've not met any of them. But if I met some of them, that'd make the situation a whole lot more real to us. And so we look here in chapter number 12, and the Lord Jesus was telling the common people about these scribes. Beware of the scribes. They're a crooked bunch. They pretend to love God, but they don't love me, and they devour widows' houses. You remember in verse number 37, "And the common people heard him gladly, And then he goes on to warn about the scribes and all the things that they were doing. Now the common people may have heard. It may have been rumored among them of what the scribes were doing. But now they see a living example before their eyes, a certain poor woman. This is not just something we're talking about. Look how it's affecting people. A certain poor widow, she's poor. All she's got is two mites to cast in. So context sheds a whole lot of light on a passage of Scripture. If we just read the before, we read the after, there's things in there that the Lord would have us to learn. So there's a surrounding comparison, number one. There's scriptural context, number two. Number three, there's the Savior's consideration. Now, look at verse number 41. Number one, there's His survey. Verse 41, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. Now, it says in verse number 41 that Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people. Now, you and I, if we behold something, we see something. But how we see something and how the Lord sees something is two different ways of seeing things. So the Lord Jesus beheld this scene before His eyes. Proverbs 15, verse number 3, the Bible says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Everybody that came and made an offering that day, do you know the Lord Jesus knew everything about every one of them? He knew who they were, what their name was, how much they made, how much they had in their bank account, where they lived, who their family was. He knew everything about them. And so, how would that make you feel, the Lord watching the offering plate go by? Now, they didn't have an offering plate go by, but they had a place where people came and they gave their offerings. You and I mean, to us, an offering, although it's done publicly, it's still a pretty private thing. I mean, it would be very odd for somebody to gawk at somebody else's offering. The way I feel about it, it's none of my business what anybody else gives or does not give. What somebody pulls out of their wallet, or they came prepared with an envelope or wrote a check or whatever the case might be, that's a very private thing. And it's nobody else's concern. When somebody gives an offering, that's between them and the Lord, what somebody else gives. But now, the Lord, He beheld. He watched everybody's offering. It didn't bother Him to look what they was giving, did it? Didn't bother Him a bit. Didn't bother Him to make a comment about it. Boy, how would that be? Do you know the Lord still sees what's put into the treasury? He still knows every one of us, our name, where we live, how much we make, how much we give. The Lord sees all that. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. That's His survey. And if the Lord wants to make that His business, well, that's all right, because that's His business. And so He looked at what they were given and how they were given and all these things. Now, number two, His scale. His scale. His scale is not like our scale. His way of measuring things is not how we measure things. His way of seeing things is not how we see things. In verse number 41, the Lord Jesus said, He beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. Now, that's just an observation. Then it says in verse number 42, and there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. The mite was the smallest coin available, like our penny. You cannot get anything below that. It's a Jewish lepton is what the mite is. And two mites make a farthing. Now, what's a farthing worth? What would a farthing buy? Matthew chapter 10, verse 29, Jesus said, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing?" Now, when I preached on that before, I said, that wouldn't even get you a Happy Meal. You couldn't get a four-piece chicken nugget for that. Two sparrows are sold for a farthing. What are you going to do with two sparrows? What is that worth? Not very much. She was poor. She didn't have anything to give, hardly at all, by way of comparison. If you compared it to all the money that the rich men were casting in, they were casting in much. And you compare two mites to that, what? How would that compare? We'd say, she didn't give nothing. That's change. It's nothing. In comparison, it's nothing. It wouldn't amount to anything. You couldn't buy anything with it. Most people would look at the poor widow and they would say, is that all you have? Is that all you have? You just keep that. You need that more than you need to give it. Don't put that in the offering plate. That's the way the world would think. She didn't have anything to give. But our scale and the Lord's scale is not the same. Now look how the Lord measured it in verse number 43. The Bible said, "And he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury." I can see them bringing their bags of money. And when they would throw them into the treasury, it'd be a big noise. Ching, clunk. When she threw hers in, it was ding, ding. But the Lord got the disciples over there, and he said, "I want to tell you something. She gave more than all." She didn't say she gave more than the last fella. He said she gave more than all of them. And I imagine a big box full of money and two little mites on top of that. And by the Lord's scale, by the Lord's way of looking at things, the Lord said those two mites are more than all the rest of that money in there. Now, where did the Lord go to school? That's not how we learn math. See, that's the way the Lord measures things. The Lord's scale and our scale are different. It's not how we learn math, but that's what the Lord said about it. "I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury." Now, one last thing, and that's his sermon. His sermon is in verse number 44. And here's how the Lord measures this. "For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." There's some things we can learn from that. The Lord is not for sale. The Lord is not impressed by big offerings. With him, it is never about how much somebody gives. The Lord's not interested in that. The Lord is not impressed by that. The lesson of this passage of Scripture, the sermon the Lord is trying to get across, it is not give and it shall be given unto you. We find that in Luke chapter 6, verse number 38. Now that is a principle in the Bible, but that is not what is being taught here. That's another place. That's not what he's teaching here. We don't know what happened to the certain poor widow. That's not the lesson here. The lesson here is not Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." That's not what's being taught here. Now the Lord will supply our needs. But that's not what he's trying to teach here in verse number 44. The sermon is not about how much we give, but about how much we keep back for ourselves. That's what the Lord's trying to get across here. Verse number 44, for all they did cast in of their abundance. These men that came, these rich men, and they cast in much money. They cast in out of their abundance. They gave what seemed to be a great deal, but they had so much they never missed it. It'd be like a big corporation giving $1 million to a cause of some kind. The reason they can do that, they do it for tax breaks. They don't miss it. They don't miss it. It's all built into their expenses that there's a certain amount they're going to give away. Makes them look good. So they give to a certain time. And that's good. It's good to give. But they give out of their abundance. Coca-Cola is not going to give so much money away that they're going to give everything they have away. But this lady gave so much away that she gave away everything that she had. She kept back nothing for herself. She gave all. And that's the message of this passage of Scripture is contained in verse number 44 in that little three-letter word, all. What did she give anyway? She gave all. That's the message. That's sermon. They all cast into their abundance. But she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. The word all, it means the whole quantity. She gave everything. She didn't give a little bit of what she had. She gave it all. Gave everything. Everything that she had. And so there's a sermon here. There's a message from the Lord. How much of me am I willing to give? Am I guilty? Am I like the rich man of casting in but keeping the lion's share for myself? I'm just asking. You know, how much have we give to the Lord? And I'm not asking for a show of hands. That's a personal thing. How much if we're compared? We're talking about comparisons here. The Lord compared the rich men and the certain poor woman. And she can be compared to all the other people around here. I mean, it's Christmas time. And people have gone out and they bought and they've spent and they've time and effort and all of that. But what have we given to the Lord? What have we given to the Lord's work? What of ourselves have we given in His service? Many, many illustrations. Paul put it like this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What's the Lord want? Proverbs chapter 4, he said, my son, give me thine heart. Just wants all of it. He's deserving of all of it. We sing that song, is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Well, that's a big question, isn't it? Is her all? The message of verse number 44, the sermon of the Lord, is her all. Her all. Well, isn't that asking the whole lot? Well, the Lord gave His all. Every last drop of blood. Everything for us so that we could be saved. And so there's a great message in Mark chapter number 12 and verses 41 through 44. The certain poor widow, and that she gave all. What a blessing. A lot to make us think about. All right, I appreciate your good attention tonight. It's been good to be out in the Lord's house. Now, we're in a teaching section in chapter 13. I think everybody's really going to enjoy it. There's a lot of good things in chapter number 13. So, Lord willing, next time we'll just jump right into it. And I've really enjoyed studying in the book of Mark. Anybody got anything on their heart? Word of testimony?